Make room for seconds. Today on Podcast Magoria. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria. I am James.
And I'm Autumn.
And today we are having our Thanksgiving episode.
Mm-hmm.
And what better way to celebrate Thanksgiving than to review a movie that has nothing to do with Thanksgiving?
Excuse you. It's about a large feast of food?
Potentially, depending on what level you're on. I think I said the same thing the opening of the first movie.
It still pertains to Thanksgiving, though, because it's a horror movie about food.
And greed. So that movie, of course, that we're talking about, in case you didn't read the title of the episode, we're talking about The Platform 2.
Woo! Yay. I was waiting for this one. Ever since we saw the first one, I kept going, I wish they'd make a sequel. I wish they'd make a second one. I need more story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I need more story. Yeah. Now I need a series or something.
Yes. It just left you hungry.
I am starving. I am on level 333 right now.
Wow. Yeah. So that's a lot. We shoved in a lot of reference. So if you're completely unfamiliar with The Platform, I recommend going back and listening to the episode from 2 years ago.
Yeah. Or heck, go watch the first movie.
Yeah.
At least.
Well, I would say it's kind of weird if you're going to be listening to an episode about a sequel to a film and have no idea. You don't know anything about the first film, like, that's a weird choice, but hey, welcome.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess we should do a little small breakdown of what the plot is, essentially.
Yeah, real easy. So it's
a society has made this prison system that works kind of like trickle-down economics.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, where the people at the top, they get all the food, and then the people at the bottom, they may or may not get anything. Just depends on how well other people at the top eat.
Yeah, and I mean, and all this is presented to you with the titular platform, a platform that goes down the center of every single level that has all the food on top of it before people get let into said facility, either in a prison way or a vacation way. That's the side of this we still don't quite understand.
That's why I need more lore.
But whenever you do your entry interview, they ask you what you want your everyday meal to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they also ask you what personal item you want to bring with you to keep you company for an unknown amount of time.
And I'm guessing everybody outside of this prison system has no idea what's going on in.
That's the only thing that would make any of this make sense.
Yeah, because there are some people that bring weapons and whatnot, and they allow it.
Yeah. I guess the sky's the limit as far as... Now, here's a question for you.
Okay.
And so let's go ahead and discuss, like, this is the sequel.
Yeah.
So I want to have an open-ended conversation, assuming that everybody listening has seen the first one and understands the basic concept here.
Right.
All right? Because this is a question I've been wanting to ask you since we've watched this movie.
Okay.
And I don't remember if I thought of this for the first one. And that is, if I were to say, hey, I want my everyday item to be a six-shooter, would the bullets in the gun be replenished every day, or would I just have six bullets to hold on to for the remainder of however long I'm supposed to be in there?
I mean, I really don't know. I feel like they wouldn't replenish it for you.
And so I think I know the answer to that based off of what we see happen in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subtle thing.
I'll also say, though, if you bring in a six shooter, you can at least hit people over the head with it.
Yeah, I can club someone with it.
Yeah, use your bullet for somebody important in the story.
And also, here or myself.
Yourself.
But here's the thing. Only I know how many bullets are still in the gun.
True.
True. So you would have to expect people to keep count.
But your neighbors above or below will hear the gunshots and the news will get out that you only have. Somebody has a gun in the facility and they only have 3 bullets right now.
So they think. I would also probably lie and say that's replenished every day. How would they know?
Old manipulation in the pit.
I would ask for a gun with no bullets and just
trick them.
Just psychologically.
Dang.
I mean, at some point in time, I would have to be forced to use it probably.
Dang, but... don't run into James in the platform.
Yeah, because you're going to have a Schrodinger's gun. all right. And Chekhov's gun, I suppose. All the guns. It's got a lot of names. All right, so let's go ahead and dig in. By the way, this movie runs at 1 hour and 40 minutes. It's in a Netflix exclusive.
It's one of the movies that I'm going to say... I need a little bit more time.
It could have used, just like the first one, it could have used more time, even though this movie does pack in a lot.
It packs in a lot more than the first one, for sure.
The movie opens, here's the thing, it opens very, there's a lot of parallels between the sequel versus the first film,
mm-hmm.
where we're introduced again to the concept of people being strangers on their levels. We also are introduced to the concept of people ordering their first meals or their final meal.
Yeah, we get to see a little bit more of that process because we kind of saw like little bits and pieces in the first one.
Yeah.
But I feel like we got to see a lot more of that.
Yeah.
Because throughout the movie, there's scenes showing our characters during their interview process. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely dives more into that, but at the same time, less.
Yeah. It still doesn't give us enough information.
So through this process, we're introduced to our, I would say, main character. And forgive me for butchering this, but I'll take the hit. and that is Perampon.
Perampon.
There we go. I added an extra R. I will be referring to her as P.
Yeah.
As my notes did, because also that was a complex name to keep writing back out.
All the names are a pain.
Well, and this was a complaint. This was something I said the first movie.
Hey, but they're probably just common names over in Spain.
I would hope so, because we're introduced to her and then also her level mate.
Zamiatin.
Who, in my notes and from this point on, will be referred to as Z.
ZMP.
Easy to remember.
You did skip over, though, some ham-fisted symbology that the movie opens up with.
Yes.
And I have to mention this because it does actually have to do with the story.
Yeah.
You just see like all these kids playing on this mock platform pyramid type thing. I guess it's a
ziggurat with a slide in the middle.
Getting kids ready for the system, essentially.
Yeah, they're all wearing the tan outfits, just like the rest of the prisoners.
Yeah, and they're all just climbing up this and going down the slide.
Yeah.
Climbing up and going down the slide. Everything's happy-go-lucky right now.
Yeah. They're all like dancing in a little circle around it as the kids take a turn to go down the slide.
Mm-hmm. They're taking their turns.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very much like with the original one, there's a lot of the introducing the two characters to each other and kind of getting a feel for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping each other at arm's distance also, because you don't really know why the person's there.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like the people that are in there don't know why they're there personally.
Yeah. Our main characters do know why they're there.
Yeah.
We don't get the full story yet.
Correct.
But all that we know is that Z, he loves pizza. He's got to have pizza every day.
Yeah.
Got to be guaranteed to have pizza.
Yeah, we get a little preview of him and his temper issues, because in the interview process, he starts to bang on the table going, I have to have the pizza every day. And he's like, you guarantee it, right? And they're like, sure.
Yeah, of course. It's also really interesting seeing this interview process, because we see a lot of other characters.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily sure if we see all of them during the movie. Because there's a couple that were definites.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did.
I'm pretty sure it's everybody.
It is nice to see not only what food item they chose, but also their day-to-day.
And most of them chose weapons.
Yeah, a lot of them chose weapons.
Which I didn't know that this was a prequel, so I thought that it was a sequel. And I was like, oh, more people are bringing weapons now. Yeah, that's smart. Cool.
Yeah.
But it's a prequel. How do they know to bring weapons?
Well, you know, some questions will never be answered. all of them except for there's one lady that she asks to bring a painting mm-hmm. with her. Which, oddly enough, is important to the story.
Yes, it is.
So that's something that I do appreciate for this film, much like the first one, is it seems that everything has a point.
Yes, every detail. You're never wondering as the audience, okay, is this going to come up again?
Right. Just because now that it will. Everything is. Yeah, it everything will. Is important to different types of degrees. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that importance is actually important, I don't know.
So we're settling in with ZMP now, and they've actually started on a pretty high up level, 24, mm-hmm. not bad.
Yeah. Very quickly, they're introduced to the concept of rules that the people are starting to actually utilize, mm-hmm. where it's a don't take other people's food.
Yeah.
Tell the people above you and below you what your item is, and they tell you what their item is, so you can make sure that people are taking the correct thing.
Right.
And if you fuck it up, there will be consequences.
Oh, yeah. Z learns that quickly because he's reaching for something else that's on the platform. And mm-hmm. the people above start begging him, no, don't do that. You're going to mess up the chain. Yeah. You're going to break the rules.
Yeah. They have some folks screaming from below that level 44 is where the break in communication is. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, you don't know exactly how far down this system's working, but at the very least up in the mid 20s, it actually functions.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. Z actually had started eating another dish because somebody above had actually gotten to his pizza.
Yeah.
And the people above are like, we have no idea. We're so sorry. Yeah. Who knows who's way above us?
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff. And Z's just like, well, if they aren't playing by the rules, why should I have to play by the rules?
Exactly.
So they go into more detail of why the rules should be followed, so that there's not danger, essentially.
Yeah. Through all this, we learn that when they find out who is taking food that doesn't belong to them, it's the duty of the people above them mm-hmm. to come down to their level and kill them.
Yeah.
And so then it's to guarantee that then no longer will someone be breaking the chain mm-hmm. and everybody gets to, you know, get the food they deserve. This is how it works. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good system if only everybody would follow it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the problem.
You get
it?
Your dish that you signed up for.
Yeah.
I'm signing up for buffalo wings.
I don't know what I want. I don't like, I've been thinking about it since the first film.
I think Z's got a good idea with the pizza.
Pizza's not a bad idea.
Because that's everything. You got meats, cheese, dairy, like.
Yeah, I would probably go with some sort of pasta dish. Like.
With some vegetables in it?
Yeah. They find out that the people from level 21 are the ones that have not been following the rules. And so the folks from the level above are going to be coming down to take care of them. The people on 23 tell our main characters that, hey, you might want to arm yourselves just in case the fight breaks down to you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what ends up happening. They can hear the struggle going on from level 21, and then it gets down to 22, and now it's reaching 23, and it's just like, holy shit, like, what kind of fucking beast was on 21 to be taking down all these people?
Yeah, and they're literally just like wrestling around on the platform, getting food everywhere.
Yeah.
Which one of the rules is you cannot keep food on your level.
Yeah, you can't stow anything away.
Or you get froze or burned to death.
Yeah, Yeah.
So with all this fighting going on and food going everywhere, our friends on the platform above are, not in for a good time.
So once the platform reaches 24, one of the folks had stayed up on 23, but the fire breaks loose. Mm-hmm. So then they get burnt.
She can't get all the food off of the level.
And now Z and P are having to deal with a person being on fire and also this fucking fight going on at the same time. And also needing to get all the food off of the level back onto the platform. It's a mess. They manage to do so. The platform goes down and they have the two folks from the level above them now on their level, which is something that we didn't really see too much of in the first film.
Yeah.
Is a level exchange.
Yeah, there's a lot of grouping that happens in this one. We also have one of the barbarians, as they're called, from 21 in the room now.
Yeah.
So we've got Burnt Body, Frenchie, and other guy.
Yeah. Through all this, Frenchie kind of explains even more of the lore for what's going on and about how they can't just kill the guy because there's still rules in place.
Yeah.
Then he starts going into the almost cult activity that's going on now.
Yeah, it's definitely cultish because there's essentially two factions in the platform, which are the barbarians and the loyalists. And the loyalists are in this cult.
Yeah, they're in this cult. And with every cult, there is a hierarchy. You have the anointed ones, which are basically the ones that keep law and order present. And then you have the holy person, which is in this case he goes by many names: the master, the messiah, Hidalgo, I think was one of them.
I don't know,
there was a third one. I want to say that that's what that was, but anyway, they talk about how magical he is and that what he had done is he rode the platform down and cut parts of himself off to feed those that were needy. And also through the great fight, he was struck blind. Oh, what a magical guy.
Oh, and don't forget, he survived a month without eating by meditating.
Yeah, yeah, magical.
That's why he's so magic.
Yeah.
Not that he probably just killed his roommates and ate them.
Yeah, he's probably just a lunatic, like everybody else in this situation.
Yeah.
Frenchie, as we're going to call him.
Yes, yes.
He tells ZMP that what they have to do now is they have to continue the chain working, and it's their responsibility to not only ensure that people only take their food, but they also have to throw out the food of the dead.
That's one of the rules of society.
Yeah, to make sure that nobody takes more than their share. Now, here's the thing, is why not just distribute it out throughout the rest, you know, the people? Or here, even crazier, is have it as an option to trade out what your day-to-day thing was for whatever is on there.
Just leave your dish for the next person.
Yeah, since you know what the chain is, especially if you know what the dead person's food is, then no one's going to miss it.
Exactly.
You won't have the risk of eating somebody else's thing. And now I know that kind of where that falls apart is many levels down, no one will ever get the option to try something different.
Yeah.
You know, and so I understand the concept of not, you still basically you can't break the rule.
But they're still getting
something. They're still going to get the thing they ordered.
Yeah.
Unless they trade with the people above them
or
below them. But anyway, Z's, you know, I'm kind of on the camp with him, is like, well, no, fucking, why should I only eat the same thing every day when I literally can eat something different because it ain't going to anybody else? He's like, nope, nope, can't do it. They also explain that you can't eat the dead.
But
cannibalism is not a thing.
Yeah, because Z's like, hey, can we eat your friend? She's already cooked.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, nope, that's illegal. You can't do that. And then kicks her body down the hole. And it breaks up into a dozen little bits.
I guess auto cannibalism isn't a bad thing since the Messiah gave his thigh to everybody.
Right.
That's fine.
That's perfectly fine. But yeah.
But
so,
a perfectly fine body that's already like burned up? Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. So when her remains reach the bottom of the pit, we see what seems to be some sort of creatures. coming out of the darkness.
Something scrambling about down there, that's for sure.
He wishes them adieu and rides down the platform with the barbarian for him to get his just desserts.
Now ZMP are left on their own to follow the rules and ensure that the law of the land is followed.
Yep. I don't know how many. I kind of lost track. I want to say it's about a week or so passes through this nice little montage of showing them following the rules for the most part, and also starting to pal around.
Yeah, Z's not able to follow these rules. He keeps snacking.
Yep.
He keeps getting a little snack here and there.
And there's this guy that's two levels above him that sees it every effing time.
Yeah.
Always eyes watching.
But hey, it seems like Z and P are really starting to like each other a little bit.
Yeah, it almost seems like there's going to be a romance.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Very odd couple, huh? Eventually, they do reach their last day of the month. They survive the first month, and Z kind of admits a little bit of his past to P, talking about how he was a failed mathematician because he just couldn't get over the square root of negative one.
Yeah, he hates imaginary numbers, and you know what? I don't blame him.
Yep. Once he couldn't figure that out, he left his job, his family, left his house behind.
He moved in with his parents?
Yeah, moved in with his parents. Mm. All because he couldn't, because of the square root of negative one.
Yep.
Pretty extreme.
Yes. He asks P what her story is, and she just says that she's just getting time to
forgive herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's done something. We don't know what yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
A celebration happens because word gets up that food has reached 175 that month.
Yeah, not
so
bad.
So pretty good.
Yeah.
About halfway to the bottom.
Yeah, not too bad.
Too bad we don't see this happen.
Ever again?
Ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. They go to sleep, and when they wake up, they're now on level 180. Yipes.
So they already know the chain is cut off essentially at 175.
Or at least it was.
It was.
Yeah.
So Z is not happy.
No.
P just kind of, she's doing her own thing.
Yeah. So this again raises the question that I had, I want to say the first one, which is, how does this work? What's the lottery here for people going to different levels when you wake up every month? Like, how does it get determined?
Yeah.
Is it just seemingly random, or is there some sort of grading system that
you
still
have
yet to figure out?
I have no idea, because I feel like because Z didn't follow the rules, that they might have got punished, and that's why they went down to 180.
Yeah. And then, like, in the first one, if you question too much, you get punished as well.
Yeah.
Because I think that's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
You know, to the folks in the first film.
Yeah.
Was, ask too many questions, down you go.
Yep. We'll see if you survive.
They quickly find out already, in the first day, that the break is in 169. And so that's not going to be great. Z is, of course, very upset. And the person, one of the people in the level below them, is a cult nut.
Mm-hmm.
All he's doing is talking about basically the scripture of the pit.
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude, please just shut up. Z is also not doing so great because he's coughing up blood.
Yeah.
He's got some sort of sickness we don't know about.
Yeah. Not really sure what's going on with that, because they never explain that he's sick.
Mm-mm.
I just figured it was because he wasn't getting his pizza.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, he's got the pizza sickness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I cough up blood if I don't have pizza every once in a while as well.
The concept of new prisoners getting brought in is introduced in this part as well.
Yeah.
And that's why the chain has broken so quickly, because all these new people don't know the rules.
Yeah. And a lot of people apparently died from the previous run, which is curious as well.
Very curious.
There's also the discussion of trying to identify who all the barbarians were in the last round, and they start talking about basically the description of each one of the folks,
right?
One of which, and I didn't point it out when we were watching it, but one of which was a lady with crossed eyes.
Yes.
And
I didn't point it out when we were watching either, but I also was like, ah, the lady with crossed eyes.
Okay. And but also they point out that somebody on level 24, a heavyset man, was eating the food of the dead.
Where'd they hear that rumor?
Yeah, the lady in the level above them goes, what level were you the last round? And P quickly lies that they were on level 46. And she's like, Now, it would be my luck that if I were to lie about what level I was on, the person
that they were on level 46. Yeah. I thought that's what she was about to say are you sure about that? Because I was on 46.
Yeah. Or I was on 45 or I was on 47.
Yeah, like, right.
It's kind of easy.
I would not lie.
It would be very hard to get away with it.
I would not lie at all. No.
Like the odds are actually very much against you to be dishonest.
Yes.
Because you can see at least, I would say, 3 to 4 levels below you.
Yeah.
If you watched long enough, you could probably figure out who was below you. Above, not so much.
Yeah, above's a little harder, but...
Which the perspective's kind of weird about that. I guess, like, as long as you don't peek over, no one below you could ever see.
Yeah.
So. That's a benefit, I suppose.
Hey, I'm so antisocial, I probably just wouldn't talk to anybody in them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, nobody would be talking to me because I got my 6-shooter. Eventually, the guilt of stealing from the dead actually gets to Z, which surprised me. I don't know what necessarily it was that broke him. Maybe just not getting pizza for an unknown amount of time and his sickness, where he just kind of comes clean.
Well, yeah, I feel like because he knows that he's fixing to just...
Yeah.
That he's just admitting everything that he can. It's too bad that he couldn't admit to P his actual history.
Yeah.
In this final moment of his. Because we see a little bit more of his interview process. And turns out he lied all about being a mathematician and all that stuff. He's a big old loser.
Yeah, he's just, he failed out of school, failed out of work.
His family left him. Yes. He didn't leave them.
Yeah, yeah. He was living with his parents. And I am assuming that what happened and how he landed there is that he burned his parents alive.
That's what I'm assuming, too.
Because
they sent him to the facility.
Someone had to have burned because the fact that he had the fantasies of screaming in fire.
Mm.
Like there's something to that.
Yeah. Maybe I missed a detail. But...
And that was what his day-to-day item was, a lighter.
Yeah.
And
which he kept trying to burn himself. And I thought that he was trying to cook little pieces of him.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
But well, he does cook a lot of pieces of him.
Yeah, he does.
because after confessing basically to P that he can't live anymore with the guilt of taking the food, he stands on the edge of the hole for the platform and sets himself on fire and falls to his death. Yikes.
So no romance.
Yeah, nope.
Even though this guy's on the cover of the movie.
Yes.
He dies halfway through. I'm guessing it was also the last day of the month because he wakes up the next day and she's on a new level with a new roommate.
Yep, she's on level 51.
Not bad.
Not bad. Hey, if everything got sorted out this last round, then we should be pretty good.
Yeah. If everybody knows the rules now. Mm-hmm. So we get our dish introduction again from mm-hmm. above and so below.
Yeah.
And P makes sure to explain, like, all the rules to her new roomie.
Yeah. Yeah. She goes ahead and just starts digging into her, assuming that her roommate is new. Also very quick, everybody learns now where the breakdown was in the previous run
mm-hmm.
and who the barbarians are, and that we already have barbarians very high up.
Yeah. Just a few levels down, there's a barbarian.
Yeah, yeah. So not great.
P kept Z's lighter, so she's got a new little habit of flicking that lighter mm-hmm. over and over and over again. It drives me crazy.
Yes.
But she's also starting to see Z.
Mm-hmm.
as either a hallucination or a ghost, what have you, whatever you want to interpret it as. Daggin' Bobby.
Yeah. The day-to-day monotony is broken up by a severed head falling down the pit. Ooh. And everybody's celebrating because it's the head of one of the barbarians. Mm. This is the signature move of Mr. Fancy Pants himself, Dagon Bobby.
Ah, our messiah, our master, our cult leader.
Yes, he is just a hardcore zealot that really likes the rules and does not fuck around.
Well, I mean, if everybody would just follow the rules, then there wouldn't be need for any of this violence.
Well, if everybody followed the rules, they probably wouldn't need the pit at all.
After we see Dag and Bobby's discipline style, the girls decide, hey, we need to go take care of that barbarian. And by the girls, I mean P. Yeah. She's dragging her roommate along going, hey, we're going to be better in numbers. Let's get rid of that guy. We got to kill anybody that's like that. Okay.
Yeah. She starts to buy into the justice system a lot. Probably not a bad idea for survival's sake. The folks above are just like, you absolutely cannot ride down. You know, you can't break the chain. Yeah. And the people below are also just like, no, you can't, you know, like, don't do it.
So as the platform comes down, it's not P that makes the final decision. It's her roommate.
Couldn't tell you what her name was. Did they ever say her name?
I don't think they ever actually say her name, and I am probably just really butchering it, but yes, Sahabat is supposed to be her name.
Yeah.
And nobody ever says it. Luckily, there's IMDb.
Right.
But she's the one that takes initiative, arms herself, and they both get on the platform and ride down. Now, the people below, only one comes with, because the other one's like, well, I'm not breaking the communication chain. I'm not going to be the one that gets killed by Dog and Bobby. So, good luck to y'all. Bye. And then when they get to the floor with a barbarian, there is a very gruesome fight.
Yeah, it is awful.
Like, I feel like the platform 2 definitely leans more heavy into the gore and horror part of the platform, because there's like primal screaming going on. There's blood everywhere. It's a bloodbath.
It's absolutely awful.
And still not the worst fight scene that we see in the movie, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the barbarian that she had set out to kill begs for his life.
Mm.
And inexplicably, P lets him go.
Yeah.
And it's just
lets
like,
him ride down.
And it's just like, what? But why?
Yeah.
After all these people, she convinced people to join to kill him.
Yeah.
And then, boop. Oh, well, I guess all these people get to die for no apparent reason.
Yeah, we're just going to be stuck on this level.
Yeah, and also don't even, like, it would make sense. She's like, oh, I'm going to kill off all these extra people so I can get the food. But no, they're not. They're still following the damn rule.
Yeah.
So what sense does it make? Now that they're on this new level, we have a little bit of understanding to what's actually going on with P's new roommate. And that is that she actually has been in the pit for longer than she had originally said, and that she herself has had a run-in with Dag and Bobby, and that's why she's missing an arm.
I was gonna say that's why she doesn't have an arm, because she goes into this big long story about how her first roommate, they had been giving a dying man some food from the dead people's food, and Dag and Bobby found out and freaking killed her roommate.
Yeah.
And then punished her by taking the arm.
Yeah. And so she's just like, yeah, like, we got to get out of here before he shows up, because if he gets here and sees me, he's going to kill us.
And she says, do not trust the system or rules. Yeah. Like, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all. She also starts to talk about an actual escape plan.
Mm-hmm. Now, why she hasn't done this in the 6 months that she's been here?
She hasn't found the way to do it, plain and simple. Because, like, she understands. And, like, I wish we knew more about her background.
Yeah.
Because the fact that she actually knows what the sleepy time gas is that they're getting exposed to. And how basically they need to fake their deaths in order to be put amongst the pile of bodies that they clear out every month. So then they can actually escape with the dead bodies. And also she understands that there's a painting somewhere in all this mess.
Oh, that's important. Probably has the chemical that they need to fake their death.
Now, what an amazing plan. It's almost too good to believe. It's almost as if the writers didn't really know what the hell, like, because this is a lot. That's a lot to swallow, and I'll not talk about the painting.
I will say that this is a little far-fetched.
Yeah, it was just like, you guys couldn't have thought of any other way to do this.
Any other way.
Like, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, the next day comes and they're just like, okay, we're gonna get out of here. We're gonna ride down to the next level and stuff. We have to get off this level before Dog and Bobby comes. Unfortunately, that's when Dog and Bobby and all his cronies show up. It's a shit show on top of a shit show on top of a shit show.
Yeah.
Because all the people that were complacent to P and S breaking the rule of breaking the chain to come down to kill the barbarians are also punished for not stopping them from being helpful.
Including the poor man that stayed behind saying, I'm going to follow the rules and make sure that communication is still here. But he's punished because he didn't stop them.
Yeah. So cool. Dog and Bobby is an asshole.
Yeah.
Big surprise.
It's been said many times already that he's very strict.
Yeah.
He is. But he doesn't punish the girls right away.
Well, no.
He's telling them, you can drink extra wine today.
Yeah. Yeah. At first, it's a shit sandwich, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, it is.
Like, oh, here you go. Like, definitely. Don't mind the fact it's full of turds. But yeah, like, he tells them to have the wine and then it's immediately revealed that, haha, joke's on you, you're gonna be punished. And so he strips down S and ties her to the platform just like he did to her old roommate so she can be torn apart on the way down. And then he puts P's arm underneath the platform so whenever it lowers down slowly, her arm gets taken off.
Yeah.
It's fucking awful.
It's gruesome. It really is. I do like what Dog and Bobby says, though. Because he talks about how the rules can't be broken. They can't be interpreted any other way because then people will start making the rules bend to their bidding.
Yeah. So ultimately, you have to keep it black and white.
Yes,
there is
black
no gray.
And white. Yeah.
But the problem with that is
there's so many scenarios
happen. Your interpretation of black and white is still based off of how you feel.
Right.
And so his interpretation of black and white is extreme. Mm-hmm. And somebody else's might be not so crazy or more crazy. Who knows?
We see those children again.
Yeah.
We get some more symbolism. Looks like the children are clamoring to the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, they're all starting to fight each other instead of working together. Interesting.
Next day, new level, new roommate.
Yes. P has completely changed after having her arm taken and her roommate brutally murdered.
I would probably change a lot, too.
She is all about anarchy now. She's like, fuck the... She tells her new roommate, fuck the people above us, fuck the people below us.
Do not talk to them.
Eat whatever you want. Just, it's all a bunch of bullshit. And her new roommate is awfully familiar.
I was sitting there going, where do I know this guy? There's no way I know this guy.
And then he pulls out his day-to-day item, which is a very fancy knife.
I recognize that knife. I recognize that.
Yep, it's Trimagazi from the first film, which is how we learned that this is a prequel.
Obviously.
Obviously. Oh, boy, his catchphrase. And so they start doing their thing, and P very quickly is just like, all right, well, it's time to do an uprising. We have to take out Doc and Bobby, and we need as many people as possible to take them down. And quickly recruit people.
Yeah, these people on all the levels below them are like, heck yeah, let's do it.
With the exception of a handful, which I will say, that handful, if you don't you don't really have much of a choice, because if you don't join, then what they do is they throw food onto you. So then you're just either going to burn or freeze.
Yep.
So, whoops.
They have a very large group of people that joined them, though.
Yes.
Like, the entire platform's covered with people now.
Yeah, it's a huge selection of folks.
Some of them seem just fine. Some of them seem not so fine.
Yeah,
though.
They've probably been waiting a long time to just be this kind of crazy.
Yeah, there's one guy that's obviously like, yeah, this is my day.
yeah, I finally get to be awful. Yeah. They're all gathered waiting for their opportunity for Dog and Bobby and his crew to come down. And unfortunately, this plan doesn't go very well initially, because the people above them, it's all Dog and Bobby people.
Yeah.
And so what he has done is he has made sure that the entire chain leading down to them will not allow any food to reach the revolution, essentially. And their plan is that they're going to starve them. So then whenever they finally ride down, they'll be too weak to fight. This almost works.
Almost.
But I don't think that Dog and Bobby was anticipating the fight that he finally has. Now, I do like this almost Trojan horse-esque arrival of Dog and Bobby's crew, where they're in like this pillow fort made out of mattresses from all the other levels. But yeah, all hell breaks loose. Everybody's getting sliced and diced.
This is the fight I was talking about, where it's like even worse than the previous one that we saw.
Yeah.
There is blood going everywhere. Yeah. Everybody's going down.
Yeah.
It literally looks so barbaric.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like we're watching some sort of like historical fight from, you know, like Viking days or some shit. It's insane.
It's cool. I really enjoyed this fight scene.
Yeah. Amongst all the madness, old T is slicing and dicing with his knife, but accidentally stabs a lady that he had gotten friendly with.
Yeah. They spend a little bit of time on the barbarian, showing them kind of
grouping
and palling around.
Yeah.
We skipped over it.
Yeah. He kind of retreats away from the battle because he kind of realizes that things have gone over the edge.
Yeah.
And
maybe he's gone a little over the edge.
I think that he has
since
recognized it.
He's just stabbing whatever
he's just
he
going
can.
Nuts, yeah. Which, I mean, how could you even begin to keep track of who you're fighting?
True.
Because eventually everybody's just covered in blood. Like, you're fighting a bloody mass. You don't know who you're killing. He retreats back a little bit, and poor P is in the shuffle, and the guy that she had let survive earlier is now coming to kill her, which he was on their side. But he's just like, now's a good time to get revenge, even though it's not really revenge because she did let him fucking live.
Yeah.
But whatever. as she's being choked out by the bearded man, that's when T sneaks her his knife and she takes care of Beardsley. And they both discover that pretty much nobody survived except for P, T, and DB.
And DB is down for the count.
Yes, he is.
He's very close to death. But for some reason, P decides not to finish the job.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, what's their deal?
Yeah. Well, we glossed over what she's guilty about. Before the big, huge bloodbath, we see the last little bits of her interview process. And it turns out the whole time she was guilty because she inadvertently killed her boyfriend's son.
Mm-hmm.
Or was part of the accidental death of her boyfriend's
son. Yeah, she was an artist. The kid was running around. Her sculpture of this dog had sharp bits on its claws. The kid impaled himself. The end.
That's not really her fault.
No.
So why is she acting like the world is against her and like she's got to do all this to have forgiveness? And
it's a weird plot choice.
It's a weird plot choice. I wish that she had actually killed the kid herself, because mm-hmm. then it would have made sense of why she goes so far down into this kind of personality in the yeah. platform, wanting to kill everybody and right. be Billy Badass.
Right. Yeah, I don't get it. Also, amongst the shuffle of when they were riding down with all the other barbarians, she did get her hands on the painting.
Mm-hmm.
And now is her opportunity. Now the battle is over. She starts to tear up the painting and eat it and starts foaming at the mouth. So I guess it did have the chemical that she needed to fake being dead to ride with all the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Oh, so this is where I think the movie just really does yeah. not stick the landing.
Yeah, we got more symbolism with the kids. One yeah. kid is out on top.
Yeah.
Two adults come in, take mm-hmm. him away.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Have no idea.
And then gravity stops working.
I don't remember this from the first movie. I really need to watch the first one to see if they show this like anti-gravity thing going on while they're cleaning up the rooms and moving people around.
I think the only time you see anti-gravity stuff is like the bottom of like below 333.
Yeah.
I think in the beam for the platform
uh-huh.
is where you see like maybe some of that in the first film. If I remember correctly, but you do absolutely do. You do not ever see cleanup crew.
None
of that is explained.
I enjoyed seeing that. That was cool.
Yeah.
But the anti-gravity thing doesn't really make sense.
No. You would think that they would just ride the platform down.
Right. Or that they have their own special
hose.
No, their own special elevator or like entrances into these rooms.
Oh, yeah.
That nobody can find.
Yeah. Seamless walls.
Yeah.
That open up.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
What's their commute to work like?
What is all this stuff like outside of this dang thing? Like, they didn't answer any question. Okay, well, we're not done with the movie yet.
Yeah,
so before I go on that rant.
Yeah,
P wakes up during all this anti-gravity nonsense and starts to try to escape, but sees the little boy that we just saw in what we thought was a fantasy sequence
mm-hmm.
is now being strapped into one of the beds. Son of a bitch.
And she's like, I can't escape when I see that there is a literal child here. Yeah.
She goes over to save him. She's not good at the anti-gravity thing. She cracks her flipping head open.
Multiple times.
Yeah. How hard is she hitting the walls?
Like, really hard.
She's barely moving. This doesn't make any sense.
She is able to get to the platform, though.
Yeah, she gets to the platform. She has the lad with her, and she ends up riding the platform down to the bottom, just like how we saw this happen in the first film. The group of survivor ghouls, as well as the ghosts of the people she's seen die throughout her experience, are greeting her, telling her that her journey is over.
Yeah.
And only the boy can ride up to the top.
Which I'm like, why? Why are we deciding to just stay at the bottom like this?
Yes. Yeah.
Why? But hey, it's cool. She lets the boy ride up.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Are not.
Yeah. The credits start to roll. And while the credits are rolling, we see generations of people making it to the bottom with or without kids.
Yeah. Some of them don't have kids.
And it's just like, oh, this has been going on for who knows how long.
So that's crazy, though, to think that there's some people that go, a kid will be all right in here.
Right. I'm still going to make it down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Regardless. It is kind of crazy to think.
Yeah.
But
it's so cool to see that generational, like, this happens with everybody that tries to escape.
Yeah. Yeah. There is just no escape except for death.
Yeah.
And how we get to have one more connection to the first film is we see our guy from the first film
mm-hmm.
make it to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes out from the shadows and it's just like, why are you here? And then they embrace and it's like, oh, he was the fiancé that
mm-hmm.
she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as far as verdict goes, I think you and I have opposing views.
Yes. Yeah, I know the movie has its problems, because even I pointed them out as we were talking about it. But I just love this concept so much. I still had a lot of fun watching this movie. I want more!
Okay, so I really, really, I'm not a fan of this movie. It's not that I hate it. I think that it was a waste of a film. It did not add anything. It didn't add enough to the lore to make it worth my time.
It added a little, like, some little crumbs to the lore. But as I said, I still need more. I need a TV show based off of the platform so I can see either more stories of people trying to get out, or I can see more of how this society works.
Yeah, I think that an anthology series where each episode is about a different levels, survivors.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even during different time periods,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So eventually you can kind of piece it together. You can be mysterious all you want for however long you want to be. So with this movie, I'm going to compare it. I don't think I compared it to this in the first one. I should have went back and listened to the episode. but I felt that there was a lot of similarities between this and the movie The Cube.
Okay.
And with that, I will say that it's following the same trajectory as The Cube, where with each sequel, yeah, you might get a little bit more plot, but you also get a lot more nonsense to it. And I think that that's where we're at with this, is that what's going to happen is they're going to eventually have somebody at the bottom find a door, open the door, and it's going to be space or the moon or some other bullshit like that.
Yeah, I'm just,
or it's
like,
just another platform.
I just need to know how big that level 334 is, because there's like hundreds of survivors down there.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
What are they doing?
How many of them are real?
True.
How does all, like, that's the thing that's so incredibly annoying. So the first film, I thought, was still inexplicably set in some realm of reality.
Mm-hmm.
This movie had a lot more symbolism that also was not symbolism. Like, mm-hmm. The kids. So
yeah.
I'm led to believe now that there is a room somewhere that has dozens of children.
Well, okay. So I wanted to talk about that.
Okay.
Because it's obvious that the system works off of manipulation a lot.
Yeah.
The kid is put there on that last level for people that escape to go to make that decision of, do I want to save the kid or do I want to save myself?
Yeah.
Also, when we are seeing the interview process and Z's interview, they tell him he is guaranteed to have pizza every day.
Yeah.
Like, it's obvious that it's just, I don't know why. Is my problem, and why are they doing this manipulation thing, and how do they know that people are going to make those decisions?
What's the point? What's the point of all of it? Like, why would anybody, like, first of all, if people know what they're going to be getting into, which obviously they don't, because they literally see
people
them lied to.
And people go on vacation here.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a mixture of a punishment and also a resort.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, vacation for Their mental state, I guess, of, because I mean,
it's a retreat. It's like when you, it's like going to fat camp is what this place is. Okay. So that's the thing that's so stupid about it, is because the fact that, and we've talked about this after watching this one, is where are the people's families?
Yeah. Because the people that are going in just to get over something or, quit smoking, like in the first one. Why are the families not going, hey, it's been 2 years now, where's Junior at?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, so I think that though the concept is interesting,
mm-hmm.
I think that they...
There's some working parts.
I think since the first movie, they pan themselves into a corner. And I think that, like, I still love the first film because I think it's very fascinating. However, I think that the second movie actually tarnished the first film. I think it made it a little worse because I'm trying to follow the rules of this world,
mm-hmm.
and they're not.
Yeah.
They're one of the levels with a barbarian. The writers of this film are the barbarians.
Well, they better watch out for you and your six shooter then.
I'm gonna tell you right now. So yeah, I don't know. Like, I came out of this on the other end, and the more I've thought about it, the more I've come to not like it. And it makes me mad because of the fact that I'm in the camp with you where I want more,
mm-hmm.
simply so I can get it to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you have a bowl of cereal and you pour the milk in and you take a spoonful and you go, ooh, I think that this milk has turned. The answer isn't pouring more milk into it,
mm-hmm.
because it's still spoiled milk. And I think that this movie has cereal, which is yummy, but I think the base of it is spoiled milk.
Okay. Here's one question that I do want answered.
Okay.
Because I am so curious just about the lives of the people that like work for the platform.
Yeah.
The cleaners. Yeah. As I said earlier, what's their commute like to work? Yeah. How do they get in there? What's going on? And then we know the kitchen is above level one.
Yes. Yeah. We do know from the first film. Yep.
And that's a lot of cooking. You're cooking for 333 levels, two people each. So 666 people you're cooking for. That's a lot of dishes.
Do you think they actually do?
You know, it is a very small platform for 666 dishes.
Do you think they actually only cook for, let's say, 175? That was the furthest that the food made it, right?
Right.
Do you think they never actually make the entire amount?
It is a manipulation game, apparently.
And they move the people around, so they obviously
do. So there's a lot of confusion.
There's a lot of confusion. The system itself probably does keep track of who's on what level. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's purely by random to a point where they're not even aware of who's on what.
Yeah.
So you would then include the food on the platform for an X amount of levels.
Right.
And just guarantee that those people, I there's no way anybody's actually keeping an itinerary of what's on that platform. The people in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way for you to know what actually is supposed to be on every single plate.
True.
Except for who's above you and who's below you. That's the only way you would actually know. Now, for you to survive long enough in this situation to go, hey, now, wait a minute. 2 months ago, there used to be cupcakes on here.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's not. But I know Cupcake Person is still alive because they're five below me.
So that's
the thing. So I know that there's got to be, but I bet there's not enough food on there.
Well, then the second part of my thought, I don't feel as bad.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, those poor chefs have to cook 666 meals every night. They're probably there all day and all night and have to work in certain shifts and blah, blah, blah. Now I don't feel as bad because they're probably only making 100 dishes.
Do you think that this movie exists in the same world as the movie The Menu?
Oh, so you're saying that this is a world, a society that just punishes based off of food?
Maybe. But I don't know. There's a lot of similarities, I would say, to kind of the ideology of this film and the movie The Menu.
Yeah, I could see. Like, The Menu is definitely the U.S.'s version of the platform.
Yeah, it's the same, overall, kind of the same concept.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Except for those are rich fuckers.
Yeah.
Well some of them in the platform are rich fuckers,
that's
too.
That's the thing, painting lady. the beginning of the episode, we made sure to mention the person with the crossed eyes being a mentioned barbarian, and then did not circle back to the fact that that person was one of the people that was, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Food.
Just know to watch out for the cross-eyed woman.
Yeah, that's right. Always watch out
my God.
For the cross-eyed woman.
And then we didn't even go into the, when the gals rode down and they got to the one level with the boy. We didn't even mention him.
Oh, him selling them out?
Yeah, him selling them out.
Doesn't matter.
Just watch the movie, folks. You might or might not like it, apparently.
Yeah. The more I talk about it, the more I don't like it.
The more I talk about it, the more I'm angry that I don't know more.
Yeah. That's called bad writing.
I love it. I don't care. I love the platform movies, and I will defend them and make everybody watch them.
Okay. Well, this is, I think, the fifth occurrence in the entire almost 230 some odd episodes. It's the fifth occurrence of us not agreeing on this. Now, that being said, I would say definitely if you happen to have Netflix, give it a watch.
Yeah.
I think I still think watch the first one. The second one is worth it.
That first movie absolutely changed my life and my view of horror.
Yeah, you haven't stopped talking about it for 2 years.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So yeah, I remember how excited you were whenever it was announced that they were making a second one.
Yes.
So. All right. So definitely give it a shot. See what you think. Tell me how much I suck. And also, I'll tell you what. In the comments, let us know what your final meal would be.
Yes.
And also what your personal item would be. And bonus question, do you think you would get replenished your bullets if you had a six shooter? I'm still saying yes.
Okay. My food, I already said buffalo wings. My item, I'd take a metal pipe.
Okay, there you go. Very, very survival horror of you.
Mm-hmm.
Mine would be pasta primavera.
Hmm.
And my item would be a six shooter.
Yes, we already knew that, James.
I'm dumb. I'm just making sure no one thinks I was just joking. That is flat out. I was thinking about it all day today before recording. I was really heavily thinking about it.
If I was in the interview process, I'd probably change my item to something else, but for right now I say a metal pipe. Yeah,
so they probably do some shit like genie rules, you know, or like, oh, here, yep, you got your thing, but here's the twist, you know, that kind of nonsense.
Anywho,
all right, so that brings us to the end of this episode of Podcast Magoria. Our next episode, we will be discussing, as we've come to do here and there, the interesting little cool horror toys and such for the ghoulies of this generation. And I'll tell you, folks, there's been a lot of neat things I'd like to be stuffed into my stocking.
Mm-hmm. So listen to the episode for some gift ideas.
Yeah,
maybe.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, we need a Podcast Magoria wish list.
I'm talking about for their kids.
Oh, yeah, them too.
Not for us kids. Their kids.
You know, I'm not going to turn it down. You'll have to find us first. all right, so see what items we added to our list for Santa next time. Until next time, if you find yourself waking up in a strange facility with a roommate that you don't really know, and you ordered something and it's just not coming, throw caution to the wind, bludgeon to your roommate, ride down to the next level, bludgeon those folks, and just keep on going down. Because eventually you'll come up Milhouse and you'll get what you ordered. Gosh darn it.
And ride up the freaking platform. Don't let those people at the bottom tell you not to.
Yeah, ride up the platform. You can totally, you know how I know you can ride up the platform? Because the little kids can do it.
Yeah.
So just, that's the item you should bring with you, is a disguise to look like a little scamp.
Yeah, a little propeller hat.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to bring a propeller. I changed it. No longer do I want a six shooter. I need a propeller hat. So I can fool people into thinking I'm a little scamp. And while you're scamping your way back up to the top in your propeller hat, you might as well do one important thing, and that is you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah. Bye.
You've been listening to Podcast Magoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, themed by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.
Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh